This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Jesus would say about himself, "I am the light of the world. In me there is no darkness." Those are powerful terms that people could understand perhaps better than we can, because they didn't have street lights, they didn't have headlights on their cars, they didn't have lights in their house. And for Jesus to say, "I am the light of the world," was a powerful statement. Today we're going to talk about 7 words that will change your life out of the book of Psalms that talk about God taking the darkness in your life and turning it into light. That's a powerful statement. My God turns my darkness into light. We're going to actually affirm that together out loud as a part of the message. But God is the one who flips the switch, to use the title that's on the screen. He's the one that brings light into darkness. It's Psalm 18. We're preaching through this book of the Bible. We're not covering everyone, but selected verses today from Psalm 18. I think it's a powerful psalm. David has just been delivered from his enemy, physically delivered. And his first response is to say these words, "I love you, Lord." I want to suggest something to you about praise. The highest praise you offer to the Lord is to say, "I love you, Lord." Think about in a marriage, the highest thing that a husband can do for his wife verbally is to say, "I love you." But nothing, get this, nothing replaces the 3 words, "I love you." Conversely, a husband can hear, "You know, I appreciate you bringing home a paycheck. I appreciate you fixing things around here." But there comes a time when the husband says, "You know, I'd like to hear her say, I love you." Parents with a child, the children need to hear those words. Not, "You're a good student, you're a great athlete." They need to hear the words, "I love you." I'm going to illustrate it in a humorous way. And then I'm going to illustrate it in a very serious, even painful way for some people. When I ministered in Atlanta, there was a youth minister that served there by the name of Brad Ratliff. Brad was a big football player, big athletic type guy. He was dating a girl, even though he lived in Atlanta, ministering to the young people there. He dated a girl in Tampa, Florida, in Tarpon Springs area. And he would go down to Tampa from time to time. And one day he came up to me and said, "Randy, I really need to take this weekend off. I want to go to Tampa and I want to propose to Jenny. I want to talk to her mom and dad and ask for her hand in marriage," so to speak. And he said, "Do you care if I take the weekend off?" And I said, "No, go ahead and do that. I understand that." The following Saturday night, he spoke at the Saturday night service. He had just gotten back from proposing to Jenny. And he stood up to begin his message, and he looked down at his notes, and then he looked up and said, "You know, I really love Jenny. I'm crazy about her. And I can't stand to be without her, and I just love her so much and looking forward to marrying her." And then he looked back at his notes, and I thought, oh, well, good, and now he's going to start his message. Then he looked up again, he said, "You know, I really can't stand being away from Jenny. It just drives me crazy. It's the most painful experience of my life is to be away from her. I just think about her day and night." And then he looked back at his notes, and I thought, now he's going to start his sermon. He looked up again and said, "You know, I can't wait to see her again. I can't wait to be with her the next time I see her. I just long for the time that I can be with her all the time, 24/7. And finally, I was sitting in the front row and I said, "Brad, we get the point. We get the point. We understand." He was lost up in love would be the phrase that I would use. Kenny Rankin, a songwriter years ago, said, I had a line in a song. I still remember it. "I love being lost up in love with you." And that's what Brad was with Jenny. He was lost up in love, and the most natural thing that flowed out of his heart, not out of his mind, out of his heart, was, "I love this person called Jenny." And isn't it interesting that David has just been rescued from his enemies, and the first thing he says, "I love you, Lord." When's the last time you told the Lord you love him? I think it's the highest expression of praise. When's the last time you told the Lord you love him? I think it's the highest expression of praise. It's not, "What a great creator, and we praise you. Those are great things, and we should do that. You're the redeemer, you're this and that." But just to say those words with David, "I love you, Lord." Now, let me give you a poignant story. When I served as a youth minister in Florence, Kentucky for 7 years, we took the high school young people every year to a church camp in Carrollton, Kentucky. It was called Happy Hills Church Camp. Sounds like a rest home. Happy Hills. I could never get beyond that name. I hated that name of a camp, Happy Hills. But that's where we went to camp. Every day the camp routine was this. You had classes in the morning, recreation in the afternoon. You'd have Vesper service in the evening. But then we would always end the day with a campfire. And we would build a big fire, and I would have the young people, these high school young people, gather around the fire. And I would use a guitar, and we'd sing some songs. And then I would bring up a topic to close out the day for discussion. And I noticed something about campfires. When people are around a campfire and they talk, they don't look at me, and they don't look at the people next to them. They talk while they're looking into the fire. There's almost something hypnotic about the fire. And the young people were talking about the subject of expressing your love to your parents and parents to their children and so forth and so on. And as long as I live, I will remember a 16-year-old girl looking in the fire saying this, "I just turned 16, 2 months ago. And for my birthday, my dad handed me the keys to a brand new sports car, red. I think that was what she said, a red sports car. She said, I really like that car. I'm really glad to have it." Then with tears streaming down her face, she said this, "But you know, I can never remember hearing my dad say, I love you." And I thought, isn't that interesting? For that one moment, she just bared her soul, not looking at me, not looking at anyone else, looking into the fire, saying, "I can't remember my dad ever saying, I love you." Do you know the reason that some of you connect with that story? It's because that's your story. That's your story with someone in your family. That's your story either on the giving end or receiving end of that. And I'm going to suggest to you that the most dynamic thing you do with another person is to express love verbally. I love you and mean it. And David says, "Lord, I love you." Then I want you to look at verse 2. "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." I want to talk about that very briefly. Have you ever spoken of someone in your life and said, "He's my rock"? Well, she's my rock. We know what that means. They're the person that's steady. They're the person that's steadfast. That's the person I can rely on. But I want to suggest to you the only one you can actually refer to 110% and say, "That is my rock." It's the Lord God Almighty. The term rock means something that's immovable. The term fortress means something that's impregnable. The word shield means something that's a barrier between me and evil. And those are the terms that David uses for the Lord. He's my rock, he's my fortress, and he's my shield. And then he uses the word deliverer. You know what deliverer means? It literally means someone who rescues you from danger. If you've ever known someone who's rescued somebody out of a fire, maybe a parent with a child or a brother or sister, and that person physically picked that person up and carried them out of that burning house, that is an example of a deliverer. A deliverer is someone who rescues from danger, and the Lord God Almighty is your deliverer and my deliverer. Then if we could bring up verse 3, "I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies." The only one that's worthy of praise in my life ultimately is the Lord. That's why we can praise God on Sunday morning, is because he's worthy. We're not doing this as some emotional exercise to get people pumped up and, you know, you'll take in the message better if you sing a few choruses, a few lines of a song. He's worthy of the praise. I read just this week an author who said a person who has trouble with praise probably has a problem with understanding who God is and what he's done for us. He's right. If I have a problem with the idea of praising God in worship, I probably don't appreciate who he is and I don't appreciate what he's done, because he's worthy of my praise because of everything he's done, he's doing, and he will do in my life. Let's move on to verse 24 out of this text. "To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. To the pure, you show yourself pure." But get this, "But to the crooked, you show yourself shrewd." David's talking to the Lord and says to the crooked man or the crooked woman, you, the Lord, show yourself shrewd. I never understood that until someone explained it to me. It means this. There's nothing that you do that gets by the Lord. Nothing I do blindsides him. He says, I didn't know he did that. I didn't know that about him. I didn't know that about her. There's nothing that you can do to pull the wool over the eyes of God so that 20 years from now, God said, you know, I never knew that about him. God knows everything. Let me use a humorous example from life. Those of you that are adults, you're grown up now, are you honest enough to raise your hand and say, there's a time that when you were growing up, living at home, that you went somewhere or did something where your parents, to this day, don't know that you went there or you did that? Raise your hand. The rest of you are lying. And here's my point. Nobody pulls that with the Lord. To the crooked, the Lord says, I show myself shrewd, meaning I know what you did. I know who you were with. I know what thoughts were going through your mind. I know everything about you. Why? Because he's the creator, not just the redeemer. He's the creator, not just the sustainer of life. That's what that means. Let's bring up verse 27. You save the humble and bring low those whose eyes are haughty. Have you ever said this about a person? You probably have maybe said it this week. You know, I really like him, but there's this one thing about him that bugs the daylights out of him. Whenever he does this, whenever he says this, or you talk about a woman, you say, you know, I really like her, but she's got this thing that she says or she does, this tone of voice. Whenever she does that, I just can't stand to hear that. And before you say, oh, I've got a lot of people like that, remember somebody thinks that about you. There's something that maybe bugs somebody in your life about what's going on in your life. It works both ways. Don't ever forget that. But I want you to notice the one thing that's identified in the Old Testament and the New Testament where God says, I can't put up with this sin. You know what it is? Pride. God resists the proud, the Bible says, and he gives his gifts, his grace to the humble. And you may remember this explanation when it says he resists the proud. The word resist means he opposes as an opponent. I don't know about you, but it's one of the most frightening thoughts. I become the opponent of the Lord God Almighty when I have pride in my heart. And so do you. I don't know about you, but it's one of the most frightening thoughts. I become the opponent of the Lord God Almighty when I have pride in my heart. And so do you. You take pride in who you are, and you take pride in your job, and you take pride in what I do. And I'm not talking about ordinary pride or where you're proud of the work you do. I'm not talking about that. An inordinate pride where you look down on people because of who you are and what you have and what you've done. And God says, I won't put up with that with anybody. I bring low those who are proud. You realize in the book of Proverbs, God lists seven things he hates. It's the only place in the Bible where it says, here are seven things that God hates. I believe it's in Proverbs 6. And I think the number one is haughty eyes. Eyes that look down on somebody else. God doesn't tolerate pride in you. He doesn't tolerate it in me. He doesn't tolerate it in anybody. Now, all of that I gave you now is just the introduction to the real heart of the message. It's verse 28. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. If you underline in your Bible, underline those last seven words, my God turns my darkness into light, because that's the theme of the message. We don't appreciate the phrase, keep my lamp burning. You know why? Because we have lights, we have electricity, we have headlamps in the car, and we have street lights outside, and we're used to light. But to have a lamp in a home back then when this was written meant you had light in your house at night. And it may be that a home would have one lamp, one oil lamp, and your whole evening was around that one oil lamp, and to run out of oil meant your electricity went off, you lost your power. And David uses this in a figurative way. Lord, you keep my lamp burning. He meant that emotionally and spiritually. You are the source of what I need. Let me tell you, there are people in this room who wouldn't be here today if it weren't for the Lord keeping your lamp burning spiritually and emotionally. You couldn't keep going if the Lord wasn't behind you and if in your life to say, I'm going to keep you going even when you want to quit. Even when you want most in life is to throw in the towel and say, what's the use? I've tried to serve the Lord for all these years and what's it gotten me? Nothing. The Lord keeps your lamp burning. And then those seven words we're going to focus in on. My God turns my darkness into light. What in the world does that mean? My God turns my darkness into light. God is the one who brings light into a dark situation. I was thinking recently, what do I do when I conduct a funeral? And I've done hundreds of funerals over the years, hundreds. I've lost count. When I have a funeral, I think in a small way, I'm bringing light into darkness. Not by some profound comment that I make, but when I stand up at a funeral and I quote Jesus who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I have brought light into darkness. When a family's going through a tragedy and I share with them out of Romans 8 that all things do work together for good, as crazy as that sounds, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I'm bringing a little bit of light into a dark situation. In that same chapter, when I share with somebody who's going through a tragic situation and say, Romans 8 says, nothing in all creation can separate me from the love of God. Not even angels, not even demons, not even powers and principalities and governments. Nobody can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm bringing light into a dark situation. And here's my point. You do the same thing. I'm convinced that you either bring light into people's darkness or you bring more darkness into their darkness. I'm convinced that you either bring light into people's darkness or you bring more darkness into their darkness. Listen to that again. That's not just a play on words. You either bring light into a person's darkness with your conversation or you just keep on more darkness. You feel dark now? I'm going to give you more darkness. Do you bring light into people's life? John Sutherland Bunnell was a minister in New York City for years, but he grew up in Prince Edward Island, Canada. How many of you know where that is? That's where Anne of Green Gables, that story, I think, originated there. His father was the administrator of a mental hospital in Prince Edward Island, Canada. John Sutherland Bunnell says that as a 10, 11, 12-year-old boy, there were times when his dad was so busy as the administrator of the hospital, he would stay at the hospital all weekend, and the hospital provided him an apartment to stay there. But he would call and say, John, if you want to come over Friday after school or Friday evening, you can stay with me at the apartment. So John said, you know, maybe two or three weekends a month, he would stay with his dad at the apartment when his dad had to do that. And he said he would walk behind his house into a woods that connected to the hospital property, maybe a mile or two away. And he said, I could even make the journey at night because there was this big street lamp at the gate to the mental hospital. And as long as I, even in the woods at night, I would just keep my eye on that light, that street lamp, I could make my way through the woods and come to the entrance. Well, you know what happened. One Friday night, John Bunnell is making his way through the woods. It's dark. It's totally dark. And the light goes out. It burns out. And John Bunnell said it was so dark that he couldn't see the path. He had to get on his hands and knees and crawling on the path to try to find where the entrance is to the hospital in the woods. You're 10, 11, 12 years old. He's heard animals making sounds around him. He had an awareness that animals were aware of him and they saw him even though he couldn't see them. And it was pretty frightening for a 10 or 11-year-old. Then he started hearing footsteps in the darkness, crunching of leaves. Somebody was walking toward him. And John Bunnell said he heard his father say, John, is that you? John, is that you? And John Sutherland Bunnell said one of the most beautiful, profound thoughts I've ever heard in my life. He said, as soon as I heard my father's voice, the darkness was no longer dark. As soon as I heard my father's voice, the darkness was no longer dark. You know what happened? John Bunnell's father spoke light into the darkness. just by saying, John, is that you? I want to suggest to you that when you meet around the Lord's table on Sunday and you take communion, the Lord speaks light into your darkness. And when you stand up and you sing a hymn of praise, God is speaking light into your darkness. When you hear a message from the book of Psalms like today, God is bringing light into your darkness, whatever the darkness is. Some of you are in through a medical darkness situation. You don't know what's going to happen 6 months from now or a year from now. That's darkness. But God can speak light into darkness. Some of you may have the darkness of uncertainty with a financial situation. God can speak light into darkness. You may have uncertainty about a relationship in your life, and God can speak light into darkness. Why? Because He's God. He's God. And I want to do this not as something melodramatic. I just want to do it as an affirmation. I don't usually do this, so if you're visiting, I don't do this every week. But I'm going to say those words, and I want you, like at a wedding, to repeat the words, those seven words that I want you to internalize out of this text. Would you repeat after me as I say it? My God turns my darkness into light. Say it one more time. My God turns my darkness into light.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday, or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.